What's up, Junkies? Welcome back in for another edition of Pigskin Junkies. Myself, Michael Larson, and Scott Panza here to bring you week three already of the NFL season and week four, a little bit of picks coming later for college, SEC firing it up. But before, obviously, we get into this week and talk about the Thursday night game, Scott and I are going to recap what happened last week. And also, just a heads up, we are recording on a Wednesday because I will be at the Thursday night game in Jacksonville. Scott, how are we doing?
Points, points, points in that Thursday nighter. Excited to watch that. We're off to a meek start. 5-4-1 or 5-5 in the entries so far. I mean, we are really let down by the Eagles last week, who just couldn't put it together. I got torched late. Higbee just dominated them. I thought they'd show more fight. Wonka Raiders 1-1, so they were a loser, but the Raiders came back, and we were expecting Keep Your Points Vegas on Monday night, and I was very pleased, especially after they got down early. Giants, you know, they just did enough to cover. Bills, they got backdoored.
Brutal.
That was very sad to watch that one. And, you know, we had a very leveraged approach. I had pretty much all the same picks in all my entries. I took one Niners and subbed them for the Bills in my third entry. And Niners, you know, I was getting a little bit of a Twitter fight on Sunday morning before the game, and people were telling me what a square I was to take the Niners. And then they win going away, and their whole team got decimated. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the horse you want to hitch your wagon to is the New York Football Jets. So maybe just find any other team. Adam Gase quickly going to be fired. He's ruining Sam Darnold's career. So hopefully he can get out of there. The ideal scenario for Sam Darnold is to be so bad that they get the first pick overall, they get Trevor Lawrence and they trade him, and they go trade him. Probably not through the Pats, because I think my man Cam Newton's going to be there to stay for a very long time. But any other program other than the Jets.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I'll take him in Minnesota. Holy smokes.
Oh, God. ugly. That isn't what you were expecting to kick off this year with the Vikings, was it?
No, I mean, I was skeptical because I knew we lost 9 starters on the defensive side of the ball. I was texting some of my friends, and I had a hard time remembering when the last time was that Minnesota got throttled at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball constantly. And that's what's happening to this team. And it's just – Zimmer had the most football guy quote after the game. He's like, we can't start winning until we stop losing, which
– that's a football guy quote.
It's such a football guy quote because it makes no sense. But what he's saying is until we keep – losing in the little things every single game, we can't start winning. Which, so there's the football guy decipher moment, but very disappointed in that team. And I teaser already for me, I'm going to be on the Titans this week. It's going to hurt, but I think I'm going to draft Derrick Henry in every single one of my daily fantasy teams. I mean, holy crap, I'm terrified for that.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. And the last game was the Chiefs. Actually feels like a really square spot after realizing that they had the Ravens in week three. I wish I had looked ahead a little bit, you know, faux pas by me. But also I didn't expect Justin Herbert, and I think that the Chargers offense would be pretty well with Justin Herbert at quarterback. Then you read the story today.
Oh, my gosh.
The team doctor punctured the lung of Tyrod Taylor. And then I've just found articles that this guy's like a drunk. He's gotten so many DUIs. Like he's like a total crackpot. So he shouldn't even be the Chargers team doctor. So in the echelon of things, like, you just shake your head that it's like, how does a doctor with multiple DUIs and keep an NFL job that you would think would be highly, highly coveted?
And now they don't know if they'll recommend him to even play football ever again.
I didn't see that.
I saw somewhere that like some people were saying like probably shouldn't play football moving forward. God. I'm like, wow, yeah, so you just cost that guy his career, so good job.
I don't know. Drew Bledsoe came back from a punch of lung. I'm pretty sure that he can come back from it, but
he
I don't
can
know
come
the
back.
Details.
It's not fun.
I'll tell you, Justin Herbert.
Looked good.
He looked pretty good. He does look like a 12-year-old with all the acne, but, I mean, he throws a tight spiral. And what about being the quarterback of a 1-1 team that's laying almost a touchdown in his first or second start in the NFL? Wild.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's absolutely but, crazy.
What I'm really excited about is I have so much Justin Herbert in DraftKings best ball tournaments because there's such deep benches on DraftKings. There's 20 spots versus 18 on the other site. I forget the name.
FanDuel?
Or Underdog. Underdog.
Oh, okay.
So I just took flyers when I had good quarterbacks on Herbert late because I thought by the middle of the season, he should be the starter. So week three, he's already the starter. On one of my teams, he was my top quarterback. So way to go, Justin Herbert. Got a lot of faith in the big guy.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that aren't too high on him. I think if you can protect him and give him time, and I know this is going to be like, yeah, Mike, well, no duh. But if he's someone that's able to step into his throws, he throws a really good ball. He did in college, but where you got to him was when you could get him, get the happy feet going. So I think if he's able to this week establish that early against Carolina, find a rhythm, I think he's got a chance. And with
good news is that he's playing Carolina. That's just an atrocious defense. So right. You couldn't pick a better spot.
And McCaffrey's not playing.
No McCaffrey.
So you can probably go slow with the offensive attack, ease into the game, and not fear that McCaffrey is going to destroy you. But absolutely unbelievable weekend of just brutal, brutal injuries. For a lot of teams,
just really, really tough and really, really brutal to see because you have just so many guys that are just the highlights of the NFL outside the quarterback and Davante Adams or Michael Thomas, Saquon, Christian McCaffrey. It's just piling up quickly, and preseason, mm-hmm. a lot of guys were predicting there was going to be more injuries because there wasn't enough practice time, and sadly, it's happening. It's happening to the biggest names, so it's a bummer. And, a bunch of quarterbacks out. We already have, two or three guys that are down, Jimmy Garoppolo, Tyrod, and is there another? Should be Kirk Cousins.
I know. Maybe if I make a voodoo doll or something like that.
I should pray harder.
I know. Well, who do we say? You said, so we got Drew Lock, Jimmy G, I feel like Tyrod.
Oh, yeah, Drew Lock, I forgot. Yeah, entire. So, yeah, three. Jeff Driscoll, friend of the pod.
Longtime friend of the pod. You can actually go back and listen to that podcast with Jeff before the start of the season. I mean, everywhere he's gone, quick side note, it's been crazy. In Cincinnati, Andy Dalton gets hurt. He becomes the starter. Goes to Detroit. Matt Stafford gets hurt last year. Sadly, Jeff then gets hurt also. Goes to Denver, and Drew Lock gets hurt. I mean, the guy, he's getting lots of opportunity. I don't know if you want that, but I think he's locking his job in for hopefully.
He may be a cursed quarterback for the starter.
That's unbelievable. not to put that on you, Jeff. You didn't hear that. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No. Sorry. I take it back, Jeff.
Yeah. I ended up going 4-3 Green Bay, smushing the Lions. Giants, like you said, Scott, sweating it. I thought the Vikings – normally pretty good coming off of a loss against the spread, getting absolutely spanked by the Colts. 49ers had that one, was on the Eagles with you. That was the L. Buffalo, we tried to circle the wagon. I watched them score the touchdown. I went for a walk with Peyton. I was like, we won. Like, got a really good chance of having 11.5 points through 2 weeks. Was feeling good. And, or 12.5 points, I should say. And then
it was such a great throw to John Brown, too.
Yeah,
I
was.
Sadly, a Whole Foods run, so I was watching it from my phone, and I saw in the cereal aisle the touchdown to John Brown. I was very excited, and then while I was waiting to check out, I saw the sad fact that Mike Gesicki got a touchdown. Mm-hmm. The only good part of that touchdown was I had a lot of him in daily fantasy and fantasy, so I was pretty, I was very conflicted. Fortunately, at this time, I have so much action that I'm like rooting against myself at like every moment and like in the witching hour, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. But the past is in the past, isn't that correct there, Scott?
Yes, it is.
So all we can do now is we can move ahead. So we're going to look at this week's card. We're not betting it, but I'm going. So, Scott, I want to hear what your take is on Dolphins, Jags. Jags are -3.
I actually think the right side is the Dolphins here. I won't be touching it. I expect lots of points. It looks like DJ Chark might be out for this one, which is disappointing. But he was limited in practice today. I think the right side is the Dolphins. Take the points. Let's not overreact to some of what the Jags have done earlier in the season, winning week one, pushing the Titans deep in week two. I think let's go with the vet. Let's take the points here. Both of these teams are pretty bad. So I lean Dolphins. I won't be touching this game. If anything, I'd be betting the over because I think there should be lots of points in this one. But I think the size is offense. Who do you got?
I'm going Minshew Mania. If I'm going to be there, if I'm going to be in the teal out, and I'm going to be juiced, so I'm going to be cheering for the home team to win just to cover the spread. So I got a dog in the fight now. But it's going to be great. The mustache versus the beard. I mean, come on.
This is going to be a very entertaining game, like a perfect Thursday nighter.
Yeah.
Lots of points, not much defense. Perfect.
Mm-hmm. That's all people want. Just a little taste. Yeah. Next up on the ticket. So we got, and also I will say this. So Circa doesn't lock in until tonight. So we're doing the Westgate spread. I don't think anything's going to shift.
They should be pretty close. I mean, you would think that they're pretty spot on. And Circa doesn't get released until 10 a.m. Thursday morning. So we got to go with Circa or Westgate, our old friends.
Yeah. Hello, darkness. Raiders coming off a hot win. And my goodness, Scott, did that stadium look sweet.
Oh, God. I want to go. I got to go. It's on the list.
But the Raiders
now. It's supposed to be this year.
Yeah, I know. Golly. Soon. So, Raiders traveling to East Coast to take on the Patriots and the Fighting Cam Newtons. Pats at home at Gillette, -6.5.
So I think that the Raiders will get a lot of press here after what they did on Monday night by beating the Saints by 10 points. Richie Incognito going to be out for this game. I think the right side is the Patriots. Cross-country travel, short week for the Raiders, I think will be problematic against the Pats. Where the Pats get really crushed is on the ground. I think that they're going to focus all their efforts on Josh Jacobs, play man on the other guys. I don't think Derek Carr is going to be able to beat him. I think lay the 6.5 with the Patriots. Have been very cautious on this team early. What I saw with Cam and the Pats on Sunday Night Football, I'm a believer. Lay the 6.5. They should really out-coach and outplay this team.
Yeah, I'm with you, Scott. I think Belichick's going to do what Belichick does. He's going to lock. He's going to load the box. And he's going to put everyone on an island, and it's going to be, hey, you have to beat me some other way outside of Jacobs. And they ran the ball really well with two major and then Incognito going down, three offensive linemen being out in Monday night. And I thought they looked great moving from that. But Belichick's going to load it, like you said. I don't think with Gilmore on the outside, I don't know if Carr is going to be able to – what he's going to be able to do.
Yeah, so, I agree. I mean, the Pats secondary is just – I mean, they didn't look good on Sunday night against Russell Wilson, but I think that Derek Carr is going to be seeing a lot different defensive backfield than, you know, pass off a loss. I think Bill Belichick has just always got this team prepared. So I think this is a great comeback spot and a little come-to-earth moment for the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Spider 2-Y Banana on Monday night, though, was absolutely electric. Next up. Are we circling the wagons this year, Scott, as the Rams, now I hear from you, Scott, stayed on the East Coast and just traveling north to old Buffalo, the wagon -2.5.
I'm not exactly sure where the Rams stayed, but I read that they were staying on the East Coast, and I was telling you before the show how much I love teams that have camaraderie. They take a trip like this, and it's a business trip, get two wins, and go back. So them coming high off the Eagles' domination and a team that's been running the ball very well this season is slightly concerning with the injuries on the Bills at linebacker Matt Milano hurt, and all their starting linebackers were out last week. Hopefully they're back. This is a wait and see. If you read the newsletter, I'll have it out on Friday morning what I decide on this game. My lean is the Bills. I think this line is slightly disrespectful, less than a field goal in this team, the way that they're playing. They're a year last year and building off that momentum. Rams defense has been playing much better than anticipated, but still they can get beat in the secondary. Not a great linebacker core. They should be able to run the ball, and Josh Allen should have a lot of space. They're one of the best O-lines in the league, one of the best D-lines in the league. This is a tailor-made game for them. I'm waiting and see, given the injury news, and we get later in the week. So we'll definitely write about it and tweet about it over the weekend. My lean is the Bills.
All right. I feel like that kind of goes against your MO there, Scott. If you really like when teams stay out there.
Yeah, I do. And that's the thing. That's, you know, this is a good spot for the Rams. I think, you know, come out here, be two top teams, or, you know, the Eagles were supposed to be. But, you know, Bills, well, you know, this is a Buffalo Bills podcast. So I'm very conflicted on this one. I also really like the Rams going into the year. So we'll wait and see.
I like it. That one, I look forward to the email on Friday morning to see the shakeout, because I'm with you. I'm sitting on that fence, and I'm sitting on it real good. Next up, the Houston Texans traveling to Pittsburgh to take on Big Ben. Steelers minus -4.
I think there's too many points to lay to Deshaun Watson. I mean, the Steelers didn't cover against the Broncos last week at home against Jeff Driscoll. This is Deshaun Watson, 0-2. This should be a bounce-back spot. The, you know, playing for desperation, season's on the line. You go in 3, you might as well forget about it. So laying more than 3, I'll take the points with the Texans. I don't love it because their defense isn't all that good, but I think you're going to get a very motivated, angry team that's gotten beat by 2. I mean, talk about brutal. What did Bill O'Brien do to the league office to open at Chiefs, Ravens, at Steelers? Brutal. But I'll take the Texans. Desperate team.
He traded DeAndre Hopkins. That's what he did.
Yeah.
Right. I think the Texans is definitely a tasty pick there, taking +4 on the road. I, like you said last week, I wasn't that impressed with the Steelers against the Denver Broncos. Nothing against our friend of the pod. It's just when you face a backup quarterback and you're known for having a pretty solid defense, you would think you would take advantage of that. But, hey, it is what it is. Jeff threw some really good balls. And like you said, Jeff's a guy we enjoy watching. But then there's DeAndre Hopkins. Got Hopkins on my mind. Why can't I think of Watson?
Yeah.
At quarterback, who's arguably top 5. Not even arguably. Easily top 5 quarterback in the NFL. Next up. What's half of 49? Like 24 and a half ers take on the Giants -4.
Oh my God, what a disrespectful line. Backup quarterback, top 3 defensive linemen out, done for the year. Well, D4 may be back. D4! I mean, really, really brutal for the Niners, just decimated with injuries. Another team that's staying on the West or on the East Coast, I believe they're at the Greenbrier in West Virginia in between games. They're going back to play at MetLife, where they're super angry to be playing at. Giants down Saquon Barkley, down Sterling Shepard. They got a bunch of injuries. They don't have much of a defense. 4 at home against a backup quarterback. I mean, I don't know how you don't take the Giants here, even as decrepit and, you know, horrid as they've looked the last 2 weeks, and really disappointed for me because I thought that they had a lot of talent on the offensive side of the ball. I'll take the 4 with the Giants. I mean, Nick Mullins, is really going to beat him by more than a field goal? Giants desperation 0-2. This is a winnable game, and you better beat the backup for the Niners, especially with all the injuries on the defensive side of the ball. And all those defensive injuries on the line should free up their offensive line, who's also putrid, but they should be able to clear a way for Daniel Jones. This is a must win for the Giants. Yeah. They have to at least cover this number.
Yeah, Nick Bosa out. Giants signing Devontae Freeman, I believe, is what I saw on the wire there. So, hey, not a bad running back to pick up off of free agency and plug in and play. Now, he's not Saquon, but he's somebody who can do a really good job in the passing game and in the running attack. So I thought the Giants looked good after Saquon went down, which is sad, but it was almost like they were able to be more balanced because
they weren't trying to feed him.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm curious to see how much Freeman plays this week. I mean, he's coming in midweek, but you should be able to just pick it up, right?
You would think. We'll see what happens. Titans -2.5 traveling to U.S. Bank Stadium against the maybe 3-win in the future at the end of the season Minnesota Vikings?
I mean, I think the side is to take the Titans here and just expect Derrick Henry to feast. He was supposed to feast last week. He didn't. I had a ton of him in DFS, luckily, in cash. Everyone else had him in DFS, so it didn't really matter. It was just a wash. So I really like the Titans again. We're a Mike Vrabel podcast, another guy that we love on this side and bet the Titans a lot. This is a team, they should beat the Vikings, but, the Vikings – how pissed off is Mike Zimmer going to be? Home dog, 0-2, playing like Dookie, especially last week, and Kirk Cousins looks awful. Horrible. They're really missing Stephon Diggs right now. So I think the side is delayed in the 2.5 for the Titans, but I'll probably be staying away from this one.
Yeah, I'd love to take out Kirk's garbage time play against the Packers and the Colts, and his QBR might be like 5. I mean, it's horrible.
It's really bad.
I think, 115 yards passing last week, and Stephon Diggs had 125 yards receiving. One guy and one guy only, and that's number 19, Adam Thielen. I mean, we have Jefferson, who I think's good, but he doesn't even look at him.
The most disappointing thing for me is just get Irv Smith involved. You guys can run such a good package of two tight ends. If you just try 12 personnel, if you will, just get Irv Smith out there. He's such a big target. At the end of last year, he was really producing, and they haven't gotten him involved at all. It's been disappointing to see.
No.
Who's the OC there?
It's North. I'm going way back. Kubiak, yeah.
Just retreads everywhere. Just retreads. These OCs are just, crappy former head coaches.
It's getting to the point where I like Zim, but when it comes to offense, the dumbest thing he did was can DeFilippo, but it's because all he wants to do is run the ball and control it. And I get it, because Zimmer used to say, if you score more than 24 points with our offense, I'm going to win the game, which hasn't been true the last 2 weeks, because we've given up more than that, and we haven't even sniffed that many points. So you got to sadly, the NFL is transitioning. Yep. It's not this black and blue. If you score 28 points, if you win like 28-17, it's a beatdown type of thing. It's changing. So you kind of either get left in the dust or you adapt and survive. But hey, we can see how that's going right now. Not good. But that's my Vikings vent for this week. Next up, the Washington football team traveling to take on the Fighting Obihutes. Browns -7.
I need better noise machine here, but what an insult. Wonka Vader, upway, sideways, every which way. Washington, they're going to get after Baker Mayfield. He's got a terrible offensive line, keeping him upright. They're celebrating a little too much in Cleveland after that win against the Bengals that was way too close for comfort. Give me Washington here. I know it wasn't pretty yesterday, but they come back east. This should be a defense that at least Dwayne Haskins can move the ball a little bit. They're going to get after Baker Mayfield. 7 points for this Browns team is such an absolute insult, especially last week. Washington was getting late 6.5 against Arizona, which is a much better team than the Browns. Browns are trash. I don't trust Baker Mayfield laying 7. It's an insult. Take Washington. Going back to the well with the Washington football team. Pumped the brakes last week. Back on the gas to the pedal. Pedal to the metal. Washington.
I'm with you here on Scott. I'm with you here on Scott. I'm with you here, Scott. That's how I speak English. I like Washington in this spot, too. I don't know if I'm going to make it my lock or my super pick to where I can get 2 points for it yet, but I'm with you. I do think it is very, very tasty. That D-line is very good, and Washington can run the ball. I think they've done what they need to do offensively, but this is going to be a team that their defense is definitely good enough to keep them within 7 points against Cleveland.
Yeah.
Speaking about the Bungles, that's the next game on the card. They are traveling to the city of brotherly love, where there's not a lot of brotherly love right now for the Philadelphia Eagles, but they are favored -5.
Oh, I mean, do people in Philly start to hate Doug Peterson? You know, I know you're supposed to have 5 years after your Super Bowl win, especially beating my Patriots, before you can start booing a coach. But I think Doug Peterson deserves all of the hate and vitriol that he's been getting for starting the season 0-2, blowing a game against Washington that they never should have blown. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a game that is probably going to be my Millie Maker DFS game stack for the weekend. I mean, there's going to be a lot of points because there's not much defense on either side of the ball. Carson Wentz should have time. I want to lay the 5 here. I'm just not sure. So Eagles are bust. I haven't decided yet. Definitely in the write-up. But this is a game that Carson Wentz should get right against this Bengals defense. Unfortunately, the problem with playing 5 is Joey Burrow has shown that he's a stud quarterback and that he's leading this offense in a very big way. So 5 may be a little too many points against this Eagles defense, but the Eagles are bust. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah. I mean, if Herbert can keep moving at the pace he's going, I think he's looked good. And if the Chargers have a solid season with him, I think he's got a chance at giving – our boy Joe Burrow run for his money, but I think the Joe Burrow bet for Rookie of the Year might be one of the safest through the first two games that I've seen in a minute.
CEH is going to give him a little push, though, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. But I think Joey Burrow, with what he's showing, should run away with it.
I agree. I want to say one thing on the Eagles. I'm with you. Wentz needs to get the ball rolling soon. He had some throws last week that were very uncharacteristic. How about him getting booed by the audio in the stadium? Yeah. Very interesting.
Not good.
Yeah, no.
That's a bold move.
Surprised the PA guy still has a job, but hey, we'll move on. Speaking of getting booed, there's a person and head coaches who should take all of the hate that they're receiving. That belongs to none other than Dan Quinn, the Falcons at home -3 against the Bears. Holy crap, how do you do that again, Scott?
I mean, just so dejecting a loss for the Falcons to lose that game. I don't know. You know, Arthur Blank deserves it. He should have got rid of Dan Quinn last year. He fell in love with the way he closed the season. And then, you know, this is what you get. You blow a game when you're up 39-24, you have no business losing that game. They had to score 2 touchdowns and kick the field goal to beat you because they didn't get the 2-point conversions. Blowing that game, it's just got to be so demoralizing for the team. In this one, I mean, Mitchell Trubisky, getting only a field goal on a team like the Falcons that should be able to score all over this team. My lean is the Falcons, lay the points and think that they get right, but you can't have too much trust in this team. So, it's probably just a fade.
Scott, you're like Michael Scott in The Office when he's like, make no mistake about it, I am ready to get hurt again. You love those Dirty Birds. You just ride with them.
They just love to torture me. Luckily, they covered last week, so.
They did.
That was good. But, I mean, just so frustrating watching them. I had a buddy who had a parlay, and the last two legs were Arizona -6.5, and it was Atlanta, and he was sending it to everybody. He's like, oh, man, what a lock. Falcons win because it's Falcons money line. And then, you know, we hadn't heard from him in a while. So
somebody needs to go check on him is what you're saying.
Just a shame, yeah.
Next up, the only more than a touchdown spread, I believe, for the week. That is correct. And that is the Indianapolis Colts and the gosh darn it Philip Rivers taking on the JETS Jets Colts -11 in Indy.
Oh, that Jets under couldn't look any better right now. Yeah. It was just so juicy going into the year. It was our biggest under of the year. We're just so pleased with how it looks. I mean, Colts are boss. You just can't hitch a wagon to this Jets team, even if they're catching 11 points. So you just don't know how they're going to score, you know. Probably should take the Jets. No one's going to take them. Just plug your nose. I don't want to. I just don't want to because I just don't have any faith in their team. So I'm not touching this one. It should be – in my heart, it says Colts are bust, but you should probably take the points with the Jets and, you know, hopefully they can cover that number. But I just – I don't believe it, and I won't believe it until I see it. So this is a firm pass.
Yeah, that's a double cup of Pepto if you're going to take the Jets in that one. That's a That's a bet it and just never look at the game once until it's over. And next up, we've been talking about him a little bit, and that is Mr. Herbert. And they are at home, -6.5, taking on the Carolina Panthers McCaffrey.
No run CMC, rookie coach going 0-2 against a really imposing pass rush with a mediocre offensive line to stop him. The good news for Justin Herbert is he's got a defense they can just torch and throw on all day. But I think the side here is the Panthers. Take the veteran quarterback, take the points. This is still a rookie. They have all week to prepare for him. If the Panthers and Matt Rhule can't cover the number against a rookie, you shouldn't be coaching in the NFL. I don't care if Run CMC is hurt. You have a veteran, Teddy Bridgewater. This should be a close game. Give me the Panthers. I mean, at the end of the week, I'm probably going to have the Chargers in my survivor pool. I think this is a great spot to use them. And I really like what I saw from Justin Herbert, but I think the Panthers cover the number. So Chargers survivor pick, most likely Panthers cover.
I like it. I'm probably going to go Chargers on this one. I just haven't seen anything from the Panthers outside of Run CMC that makes me confident. But, hey, you know, we can agree to disagree, and that's good. Disagreeing is good. Although I'm on the losing side of our last agreement, so I better be careful. Next up, the Motor City Kitties traveling to old Arizona. Kyler Murray and that explosive offense -5.5 at home.
I mean, another spot, I think you just plug your nose, you take the Lions. Kenny Golladay should be back. I mean, another desperate game for the Lions here. Hopefully they can keep pace with the Cardinals. I think Matt Stafford, he should be able to put points in this defense. I think this is such a sucker line for people to take the cards, especially how they looked last week. And no one's going to be wanting to be on the line. So I think plug your nose, take the Lions here. You know, Matt Stafford, Kenny Golladay back. They should be able to throw on this team as long as they can keep pace. I mean, last year we were talking about Lions going into Arizona and they should cook them week one. They were up big and they blew it late. You know, so you get similar team getting more than a field goal. Give me the Lions, plug your nose. Doesn't smell good. Just take the Lions.
Don't go in there after me. I'm surprised, honestly, it's only 5.5, if I'm being honest with you, Scott, after the beatdown the Packers put on them last week. I thought Cardinals with the idea and the public perception of it being an explosive offense, that it wouldn't be something a little bit higher to make it a bit more of a...
I mean, Matt Patricia just must be feeling it. I mean, if you can't get your team going, you really don't deserve this job. And him, Adam Gase, Dan Quinn are really fighting for first coach fired. So if he wants to avoid that, then you gotta make a statement. You gotta win this game, or you gotta keep it close, or you're gonna lose the locker room quick. And then it's let's just auto bet against the Lions.
All right. Next up, Tampa Bay Gronkaneers going to Mile High -6 against friend of the podcast Jeff Driscoll's Broncos.
Oh, I mean, just another plug your nose, take Jeff Driscoll and the Broncos here. It was on the cusp of being Wonka Bader. I think it's just the sharp side here. I know they have a ton of injuries. I know they're going to be relying on rookies and backups, but they're at home playing in the altitude against a team that's still trying to mesh together. I know that they look pretty good against Carolina, but I think it's a tough task to go on the road, lay 6 to a team with the guy who's had a lot of experience at quarterback. I think another side that the public's going to be really on the box. I think plug your nose, take the Broncos. Altitude still early in the year. I know weeks 1 and 2, they have a really strong record. I mean, what's it look like week 3 included? So give me the Broncos here, plug your nose, you know, another Pepto special, but I want to be taking points this weekend.
Oh, Scott, you going to Costco this weekend, huh? Get some Pepto on bulk order. Going to be locked in with the in the junk. Next up, we got the Cowboys taking on the Seahawks. Cowboys going on the road, Hawks at home -5.
I think what you saw last week, Seahawks, you know, they beat the Pats by five, very close game, but that offense is just humming. I mean, and that's a Bill Belichick-led defense. Now you got the Cowboys defense, which is just putrid, give up 40 points or 39 points to the Falcons. Russell Wilson improving those MVP odds. We were all over at the beginning of the year. Love the Seahawks here. Lay the five. Very tough spot for the Cowboys. You know, we really thought, you know, they should be 0-2. And it's so frustrating because it was my second favorite under on the Cowboys. And the main thesis was, hey, they can easily start 0-3 because they're playing a bunch of veteran teams. So I'm very disappointed that it's not an 0-2 Cowboys team going into Seattle. But I'll lay the five here. I don't think they can keep pace. They have a much better coach team that won't make the same mistakes that the Falcons did last week. So they go on the road, tough spot. Playing the Seahawks. I know no fans there, but still, tough place to play. Lay the five with the Seahawks. I mean, Cowboys are super overvalued, in my opinion.
Yeah, I like the Hawks in this one, too. My only fear is with how big of an emotional game it was last week, if there's a bit of a hangover. But both teams truly having emotional wins last week, so I feel like it's going to balance itself out. So that was kind of my talking myself out of it. I try not to do too much emotional stuff with the NFL because they're all professionals. So for the most part, the emotions don't ride too much. But hey, with it being no off season, it's game three, you know, adrenaline is it's a good drug. So who knows? But I'll get more into those young 18 to 22 year olds here coming up later. Packers at Saints. Saints at home -3. After losing to the Raiders last week, Michael Thomas back, question mark?
I think Michael Thomas out again, so they'll be relying on Traquan Smith and Alvin Kamara. I think another spot, I think it's going to be super popular, so it's probably going to be fade in the contest, but Packers take the points. You know, I seem to like to bet against the Saints. I don't seem to ever be a believer in them, so take this with a grain of salt. But Packers looking great first 2 weeks of the year. I know they go to a tough place to play in New Orleans, but – end of the day, give me Rodgers right now over Breeze. Breeze has not looked good the first 2 weeks, and I've been trying to convince my buddy to drop Drew Breeze in fantasy and go pick up Gardner Minshew, who's going to be running for his life and trying to throw touchdown passes, and not you know, Drew Breeze handing the ball off to Alvin Kamara. So I'll take the Packers here. I'll take the points. Probably going to fade in the contest because it's going to be super popular. So, but I think Packers cover this number. I think keep your points, Vegas. Packers win, in my opinion.
Yeah, wasn't it Drew Brees at one point averaging like 4.5 yards, like passing, like through the air?
Air yards. Yards, yep. Air yards is the term. It's the analyst term. Exactly. Not what you want to see.
No, it is not. Chiefs, this is the granddaddy of them all. Talk about a tsunami of money, Scott. On both sides. This might be the most gambled game in the history of the NFL. Regular season game, I'll say, because Super Bowl, obviously, everyone's just ramming their money. But
Week 3 Monday Nighter.
Yeah. Chiefs in Baltimore. Ravens are -3.5.
So I think, you know, a tsunami of public money would be on the Chiefs. If it's a 3.5 spread that you can get, everyone's going to want to take more than a field goal with Patrick Mahomes. Not concerned about how they played last week against the Chargers. I think the Chargers had the number, and I alluded to it earlier. I think that was a look-ahead spot, now realizing that they're playing the Ravens in Week 3 on Monday Night Football. So the side, I think, is the Chiefs. I think Ravens win, but if you're getting more than a field goal, you got to take the Chiefs. And the points, I think this will be the most popular pick of the weekend. Everyone will be riding the Chiefs. I think the Ravens win. I'm actually going to stay up way past my bedtime to watch this one because I don't think it gets any better. This is what everyone wanted to see in the AFC Championship last year, but Lamar and Harbaugh didn't do their part. We get it now. Chiefs cover, Ravens win. I'll stand by it.
Ooh, I'm with you. I mean, if I feel like I'm mush when it comes to siding with the public, but when you see Mahomes, the Super Bowl champs, the MVP, getting 3.5, it's hard not to. I mean, that feels like the safest bet you could possibly make. So, we'll see. I'm not going to put it in my pick'em, but I'll probably see how the line shifts and see if I can get snazzy.
Well, I think it would be fun. Start the week with a 10-point teaser. You take the Chiefs up to 13 or 13.5. You tease the over. And then you mix it in with you could do it on the Sunday night, or take the Packers plus 13. You take the Chiefs plus 13.5, and you take the over of that game. I mean, that, now you're just swimming in it.
I feel like that's a nice tasty teaser. Yeah.
My man Jordan, who's Mr. Teaser right now, he would really like that tease. So I'll be all over it. I don't think we're supposed to endorse teases, but they're just so much fun. And I'm sorry, I'm sure, you know, if someone who was listening to me, they'd be mocking me right now, but this is not my profession. So I do like to have a little bit of fun, and teasers, there are tons of it.
Nothing like a little tease. You know, hey, it's fun. Scott, I'm excited. I think this is going to be – so I think it's going to be a really fun weekend, like we were talking about before we started recording. This is when Vegas really starts honing into these spreads, and it makes it really challenging but fun, because they send you the card and you're like, holy crap.
This is definitely a tough week, and there's definitely some stuff to mull over. You know, there's a lot to read, and it's still early in the week, so you still got to sift through the injuries. And but, you know, I think this is going to be a really good weekend of football. And I think there's a bunch of 4 o'clock games, which would be nice. So you're not just jammed watching eight games in the 1 o'clock slot. Yeah.
The Octagon. The Octobox.
Octobox.
Yeah.
I love how he's trying to get Octopus rolling when a guy scores a touchdown and gets the 2-point conversion. Octopus.
I like it. I think that could work. I think that could work. Well, Scott, as you may know, this year I get to talk to you about college football a little bit more, going to get you all involved in it. SEC football is back, baby.
I'm going to go to an Auburn game with you.
Let's do it. I'm in. You let me know when, and I will be there with bells on. Joy is as ever. We'll take you to Sky Bar. We'll hit all the spots. We'll make Jared real happy. So football's back this weekend in the SEC, so I always joke and say football's back, which just pisses off a lot of people. But it's a great weekend. You got Miami FSU, which hasn't had national implications in over 10 years. But, hey, it's still Miami FSU, so it's exciting. That's going to be the night game. I really like Miami at minus 11.5. I think this FSU defense is not that great, and I think with each week, Derek King and Rhett Lashley are going to continue to build momentum in that offense, and I really like the Canes in that night spot. SEC-wise, I hate to say this, but I'm concerned with my Auburn Tigers, and I think it's going to shift even more because I think a lot of people – or excuse me, it's going to shift less as the week goes on, because I think a lot of people are going to be hopping on Kentucky because people like to put us on upset alert versus them. So I wouldn't be surprised if that 7.5 comes down a little bit. I like Kentucky plus 7.5. I think Auburn wins, but new offensive coordinator. It's Bo Nix's second year. It's going to take a little bit to get used to, so I think it's going to be slow. I think Tigers win, but ugly. Scott, any thoughts?
I got nothing for you. I will tune in because I have a lot of free time now. On weekends, because you can't do anything. So sure. I will tune in for some college. Maybe I'll get there and I'll be able to give you some insight. But my lean is that if I ever give an insight on a college football game, bet the other side, because I don't know what I'm talking about.
Flip the coin and go from there. So I'll do like the fastest 2 minutes here. I'll be like the end of PTI where they're just other games I like. I do like Ole Miss plus 14. Lane Kiffin can score points. Sure, the defense for Ole Miss, we don't really know what we're going to have. Florida has a solid offense and I think a solid defense as well, but Ole Miss hasn't had coaching. Matt Luke, not that great of a coach. They have athletes on the field. Lane Kiffin will do a good job of scoring points. That's a name you know there, Scott. The Raiders. UCF. Minus 27.5 against East Carolina. East Carolina has not been good in about 8 years. UCF is, in my opinion, until I watch Florida this weekend, right now the best team in the state of Florida. I would love to see them play either Miami or Florida this year. It's not going to happen because those two schools have too much to lose by playing them. Gabriel's a beast, and this UCF offense is only going to get faster and better as the year goes on. Next up, I already said the U-minus 11.5 games and lines I'll be watching. Bama minus 27.5 against Missouri. Bama has so much talent with Waddle and that receiving core. They got another three receivers that could go in the first round this year. -27.5 sounds like a lot, but their defense is stout, and I don't think Missouri is going to be able to do anything. First-year head coach, prayers out to them this year, because playing 10 SEC games is going to suck. Next up, UT taking on South Carolina. This one, I believe, is in Columbia. I could be wrong. I don't have it in front of me right now, but UT -3.5 against the Gamecocks. I'm a little bit hesitant. Everyone loves Pruitt, and I love Muschamp, so we'll see what happens with that moving forward. Next, Vanderbilt +30.5 traveling to A&M to take on the Aggies. Jimbo Fisher better figure this sucker out moving forward. Kellen Mond, I don't think, is the answer for them at quarterback, but we'll see. Maybe he has the Joe Burrow treatment where he's like mediocre and then out of nowhere absolutely explodes onto the scene. So those last three I'm going to be watching to see the movement. Once again, I'll tweet out my card on Friday or Saturday morning and just give you guys some feelers on that. But that's my quick little synopsis. As we get more and more college games, once the Big Ten gets back into it, it's going to be like, holy smokes, I can't wait. So there's my fastest 2 minutes of college football right there.
So are college kids going to be at these games, or is it going to be fanless?
There are going to be some fans at these games. Auburn, I think, is 20% capacity, but it's all pretty much all students for the first year.
At least you get the students.
Yes. So, and we're waiting to see, too, because, you know, we have season tickets. So we're waiting to see how that all shakes out with what game we could even get. So it's going to be interesting. So there's not going to be a whole lot of emotion. And that's really what I'm going to be looking at is, okay, how much energy can these sidelines produce? Energy. And that's where I like guys like Pruitt and Muschamp, who are these fiery head coaches that will get in your face and scream at you. Sorry, this game's at Columbia and Tennessee's -3.5. So the energy level for 18 and 22 year olds is huge. So the fans that are there are going to have to be extra loud. Now they're allowed to pump in stadium noise. It's going to be interesting, Scott. It's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I like to tell friends who bet on college, I think you can never handicap how 18-year-olds are behaving, especially in a time like now. So God bless you guys if you're betting on college football, especially you, Micah.
Yeah, it's a blast. Last weekend, I got crushed in the morning. Oklahoma State was awful. And I had the spread and the over-under in that game. And there was not a lot of scoring that was done between Tulsa the golden showers, as Jared and I used to call them, they're the golden hurricanes, versus Oklahoma State. Was good in the afternoon, hit the UCF over-under and the spread. Miami was easy money, and there was the under in the Marshall App State game. So overall, it was a pretty solid Saturday. Was in the green for the weekend. Can't complain, Scott. I'm just happy. I'm just loving football, loving getting in on the action everywhere. Can't complain.
All right.
All right. That's where we're going. So, hey, I'm going to be getting jagged off tomorrow night. So it's going to be a fun time up in Jacksonville. Duval. The beard and Duval versus the mustache. Can't wait. Scott, it's been such a pleasure as always. Looking forward to this weekend. We're out of here, junkies.
Yeah, baby.
Suck the tape.